Giving the comments, we love that. Good morning, welcome to everyone that's already commenting. Richard, hello from Aratula, if I'm saying that right. Where is that? And for reference, tell us a place that we already know. So if you say it's near something else and we don't know that, that won't help us. Where is
Aratula?
Listen,
I grew up in this region, and I've assumed this region because yes. Richard's around my old stomping ground.
Yes.
But I don't know Aratula. So yeah. that's unfamiliar. So he's either travelled further or it's just a little town.
Or he's gone into New South Wales or something.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Well, good morning, Pastor Christine and Brooke. Glad to have you. We love our regulars. Comment if you're here. Let us know you're here. We love knowing who we're speaking to. Josh here.
Yeah.
I'm sure some people might, but if you're new, you might not know. I'm Josh, and I'm here with Pastor Peter.
Hi, everybody. And we often have Jay here, but he's still in recovery mode from a broken ankle and surgery there. So, but he's going to join us as he can. But shout out to Jay because he does follow us on the live stream. Richard, it's just near Tokemoor.
Okay. We know Tokemoor.
Towards the New South Wales side of the river. It's not really a place, just some trees and cows. I used to play football for a team called Mawela, just on the other side of the Yarrawonga, the smaller town. And we played in what was called the Tungamar Football League back then. And Tungamar itself was just a farming community, and you know, basically had some silos and a few houses and a football ground. And yet it got the whole league named after it. So I never know how they did that. I don't know whether the Tungamar Football League still exists. I know Mawela now is part of the Murray League.
Yeah.
But there was like, you go to Tungamar, it's just, there'd be only a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
And yet they have a football team and it's all official. And they have, the league was named after them. So there must have been some, I don't know, powerhouse originally. Anyway, we are sidetracked already, and
sometimes it just happens.
Yeah. Country Victoria, gotta love them. and you know, with some, you'd go down and play in some of these places, you know, Wilby, which was a little nothing farming, but it was just representative. But they'd have some of the best sporting teams because all these young strapping farmer boys would come down and play football or cricket. And they're all like 6'2" and brought up in the farm. So, you know, a 13-year-old, they're throwing hay bales on the back of a truck and stuff. So, you know, these are good athletic young guys, and they'd all come and play.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'd have to clear the cows off the field or something like that, but get the sheep moving. But they were good sporting communities, and a lot of families. And there'd be, you know, say, oh, how many in the the Hargreaves family? Well, there'd be six Hargreaves, you know, cousins and nephews and stuff like that. And all, you know, uncle's still playing at 57, and the young kid at 14.
It's a family affair.
Yeah, but they're all monsters and really good at what they do. You know, granddad's 64 and still looks like, you know, he can lift the track. You know?
That's good.
Good farming food, good farming health. There's a sign to Tungamar from everywhere. It's got a good gun shop and a pub.
Probably ticks a lot of boxes for what they want out there.
Yeah, it does. Okay. There's probably more guns than people in Tungamar in that gun shop.
Yeah.
Anyway, shout out to all the people from Tungamar and Tokemoor and Aratula. And everyone here from Melbourne, we've got a few. Christine, my wife, Brooke, Judith watching from Nunawading. So we're all...
from everywhere.
Yeah.
All over the place.
No, all around.
We love having our regulars.
And I found last week we had people watching from all different places around.
Yeah.
From America and things like that. And sometimes you don't find out till afterwards. So we give a shout out to you. You're either watching live or some people are watching later.
Yeah, we know not everyone can watch live, but we know those that are watching live now or definitely watching later. You are the hungry ones.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that, you know, we're here for. So this is good. We're glad you're here.
So the Breakthrough Academy, it's for people that are hungry to grow faith that can move mountains.
Yeah.
So if that's you want to know God and you want to know His Word in a way that builds your faith so that you can actually get out there and do great things for God, this is where we come. It's an academy where we dig deep and take time. We don't dig deep just to get, you know, sort of full of the academia.
Yeah,
you know, but we do it so that we can get hold of the word. Make sure that what we understand in the word, we're not just saying, well, I trust you because you said it. No, we know it from the word.
Yeah.
And we dig in the word and we appreciate what the word says. And that gives us a foundation that the Holy Spirit can use to quicken us with faith and rhema. So we've been looking at this concept, mirror, mirror. And last week we started, what does the mirror say about the big picture? About where we came from and who we are and why we're here. It's important to understand where we are. And we looked at the scripture from the book of John, John chapter 8 and verse 14. So let's start with that. We're good. We're on there.
We don't have the pencil today, so we're using the fingers.
Yeah.
So if we click the wrong thing, you'll just...
Yeah, if anyone's watching from my home, if you can have a look in the study and see if my Apple Pencil's there. I think I had it out doing something and I've left it. Anyway, use the God's pencil.
Yeah.
Yeah, what Jesus wrote in the dirt with
his... He did, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Jesus said, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true because I know where I came from and where I am going.
Yep.
That is just so powerful. So many people don't know where they came from, don't know where they're going. They're just existing.
Just existing, just going along.
Existing. And that is what the philosophy of the world tells us to do, that we actually just exist. There is no purpose. They said it's a random, you're here by randomness, just make the best of it. And there's no purpose. When you die. And so just live for the moment. And you know, the book of Ecclesiastes is built around the concept, what happens when you just suddenly think there's nothing more to life than what I'm doing now, and it becomes meaningless. It becomes vanity, vanity, all is vanity, using the good, I think it's the King James.
Yeah.
It just lost sight of what life was about, and no purpose. So that's what happens if you embrace the world's philosophies, and especially the modern philosophy, which says science knows everything. Science understands everything. Another word for that is naturalism, which means that you can explain everything through natural reasoning and natural causes. So you can understand life totally through our perception of what is natural. And if some people say, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, it's nothing wrong as long as natural is all that there is.
Mm.
And let me say, you know, people sometimes say, oh, about God, or, you know, can we talk about the existence of God? Well, how about we just take something a little bit more... you know, not God, but even angels. Do angels exist? Well, you cannot prove that using scientific method. Mm. You cannot prove it because you can't test an angel. It's outside of... Now, an angel can come into this physical world. It can appear. It can touch things. It's not as if it's not able to interact with this world. But if it chooses not to, then there's nothing we can do. We can't measure it. We can't, we can't touch it. We can't put it on a set of scales. We can't take a swab and say, no, let's analyze this. You can't do that. But science cannot accept the existence of what we call angels.
Yeah.
The only way they can accept it is if there's something natural which we are calling angels, but it's actually just a natural phenomenon.
Yeah.
Something that we can actually measure. Oh, it's not really spiritual. It's actually just the wind in the trees, and we can measure that, and it's just this. It's just a natural thing. So a lot of spiritual things, science has said, well, it's not really spiritual. It's actually just either your imagination or it's something that we can explain. Like, oh, when the moon turns red, they go, ooh, you know, it's, you know, some spiritual god or something like that. No, we can prove that it turns red for these natural reasons. Mm. And so everything that is understood in this world comes down to a natural philosophy. And so that's naturalism. It means that we can only do and touch and taste and I don't believe that's a good premise. You know, science says we start with naturalism, and then they say, now prove creation, prove God. You can't. Mm. You can't start with naturalism and then say, prove things that are outside of it.
That's right.
Because
it
will never fit in it. You know, you can never prove God inside the boundaries of naturalism because it's not doesn't fall within that. So I could never prove these things because they're not provable. I can't prove a miracle inside naturalism, I can only show that the effect of it, and then the naturalism's got to try and come up with own causes. So naturalism is what it says, we understand everything just by our senses and by what can be tested, what we understand. Now, some things are very difficult to understand, like quantum physics. You dive deep, you know, when you met the measurements of things that we use work really well until you get them very, very small or very, very big. Right, very. It's funny, you know, in science, things that are, you know, you sort of say, well, I'm going to measure this table, and it's 2 meters long or 2,000 millimeters, and I can measure it with a ruler, and you know, and I can put it there, and I can get a tape measure, and I can measure it with a laser and get it very accurate. We can measure it, but when you get smaller and smaller and smaller, what happens when the ruler turns into a series of atoms, and you sort of, you know, atoms are all bouncing around and moving, and you get into sort of quantum levels where it's just. It's you know, I've seen the movies, I know what happens, you know, you get yeah.
I've seen some of the Marvel movies, I understand a little bit of quantum.
Yeah, I understand what happens in quantum. Yeah, it just means that you go down there and you go and you're around atoms, but you're the same size.
That's a word I've heard.
Yeah. But when you get really large, things don't behave quite normally as well. You know, like when things are traveling close to the speed of light, they start to affect time and things like that. And we know these things are true. They're real. That you know, our mobile phones are based on the fact that time changes depending on the speed and gravity. Gravity affects things because they have to take that into effect. The fact that we're on the Earth with my phone and we've got satellites going around further away. And moving at speed, but the further of the distance from gravity, and it affects their timing and us, and they have to make adjustments. So when it sends information to my phone, there's things in there to make adjustments to bring it back into alignment, because it knows that if we just stayed on the same track, we'd get out of time, get out of sync. So we know these things are real. We can measure them, very big, very small, but they're still measurable, and they're still in the realm of naturalism, even though they get a bit. You know, they stretch our boundaries of our thinking. The purpose is that if you just say everything is understood by naturalism, we just become the result of natural causes. And in natural causes, without God, there is no purpose.
Yeah.
That's the thing. There's no set plan. There's no design.
Yeah.
It's just randomness caused by chemicals joining together, creating things. Now, the evidence is obvious. When you look at us and you look at us clearly, we are designed. Our brain is designed. Our whole structure is so designed so well. Many years ago, I listened to some lectures by a Scottish professor or a Scottish scientist, and he was so old school. He'd have this Scottish accent. I don't do it very well. And he'd had I'd like to say that I am born again. And it sounded like he'd come out of the 1950s, you know what I mean? Like he was this funny sort of dude, and he spoke very strange. And I was like, oh man, this guy's, you know, a bit strange. But then I listened to him and listened to him. And in the end, I couldn't stop listening to him because what he was saying was so compelling.
Yeah.
And it turns out that he was actually someone who was an expert on eyes. His job was working with eyes, he'd take eyes and cut them up, and he'd do things, and he was very highly qualified in the understanding of eyes, and he just began to speak about how eyes work and the amazing design. And then he took, you know, side turn, and I'll just talk about something about blood, and he began to talk about blood from a scientific, and just the amazing things that, you know, it was like going into this world. It was like, how clever.
Yeah.
How amazing is how all this works, and it fits together and it works together. And he was just showing that our body is wonderful. And he filled me with a sense of awe at the amazing design.
That's so good.
And, but if you go into evolution, they don't say, don't get awe. You know, just you can get amazed at evolution, but it's just this random stuff that happens. They don't know where they came from, and they don't know where they're going.
This is just how it's ended up.
Just how it's ended up. And we're just a pile of randomness that just happens to here. And that kills us in terms of our purpose in life and our calling.
Well,
that
makes everything meaningless.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it becomes, you know, because even if you do good, what's the purpose?
Yeah. Why bother?
Yeah. So what it can come down to is, well, I'll just try and have as much fun as I can while I'm here.
Mm.
I'll just look after myself because, you know, and basically if if helping you makes me feel good, I'll help you.
Mm.
So yeah, we're all into good society, but only because effectively it makes me feel good and safe and secure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we've got no boundaries. We don't know what we're here for. Therefore, we don't know what we're called to do. And we certainly don't know how to prepare for eternity. And we don't know how to live this life with an understanding of getting in step with God and flowing with God.
Yeah,
Jesus said, hey, everybody, all you who are weary, heavy laden, heavy burden, under, you're feeling tough, come to me, get in step with me, put on my yoke, and I will show you how to live, and I will take the burden off. But we've got to get in step with Jesus.
Mm.
And getting in step with God and the spiritual life and who we are and what God's called us to do, that becomes a way of great peace. Hi to Jo Rose. Sheba's there. She was asleep the other night when we were having a Leaders Grow team. But Lee Tester, good morning from Breakthrough. Happy Friday. Yeah, it's good. Friday's a good day.
Yes.
I love Friday because we have we have Academy, and then we're heading into often good things on the weekend and stuff like that. And then so it's a
I think we're going into a slightly warmer weekend.
Yeah, yeah. We've got hey Lee, beat this. We're gonna have 19 degrees tomorrow.
I won't be wearing this.
Yeah, 19 degrees. Take that up there in the Gold Coast. we might even take our jackets off.
Yeah.
That's how warm it's gonna be down here.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's gonna be nice. So Jesus knew where he came from, knew where he's going.
Yeah.
And we need the same.
Yeah, that's right.
We need the same. We need to understand where we're called, our calling and our connection with the Creator, what he's created us for, his purpose. And he created, and that's one of the things that I've discovered. When we were talking last week, we talked about the bigger picture about God's creation and his plan. And now this week, I want to look more at our creation and who we are. As you know, like God's created the world, but what about he's created me?
Mm.
And you know, we all know that God finished his creation on the sixth day. God looked at everything, and he said, it's good.
It's good.
It's good. So question out there, question without notice. Did Jesus, because Jesus did the creation, Hebrews and other scriptures talk about, you know, Jesus was the one actually getting the job done. I'm going to get to 21 degrees and he's not wearing a jacket already. Okay. All right. Can we have just the administrator block all the comments from that? from anyone in the Gold Coast who's dissing us and our weather down here. Okay, so creation. God created. Jesus created. The creator.
Yeah.
Sixth day. Finished creation. Yeah. Correct. Did God do any more creation after that point? Was that what did he finish his creation? Stopped. Was that the end of all creation? That's my question to you. All right. Okay. We know. Okay. Let's people just give them time. Some thinking music. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. God saw all that he had made. It was very good. There was evening. There was morning. The sixth day. Heavens and the earth were completed with everything that was in them. That it's finished. Done. God. So sometimes there's a sense. Okay. God has finished it. It's done. No more creation. Did God stop the creating because he'd created everything? You know, there is a philosophy in the world that says the creation was something that, yes, we believe there is a God that created.
Mm.
Okay, so we're not just pure atheists.
Yeah.
But what happened is God created the universe and then just left it. And it's just sort of running.
Let it run its course.
Let's run its course. And we're just sort of, you know, we're God's there, but he's sort of just letting us run the course.
Yeah.
And some people take that as God just started the universe with the stuff and the chemicals to maybe get it going. And then sort of, and then the chemicals have sort of evolved themselves. Or some people say, yeah, that was a little bit tough. Because you put a bunch of chemicals into a glue, the glob and hot springs or whatever, it doesn't do anything. They've tested that. It doesn't work. You know, people say, oh yeah, there's certain tests that they did. Nah, check out that test. It was all they're adding bits and pieces to make it work, and then it never would have worked in normal conditions. So you can't create or spark or do anything. So they say, well, maybe God, you know, I know he stepped back, but then he just. We needed to give it a little help here. We need to push things along.
Just
a little.
Give it a stir every so often.
Yeah, it's like a kid when they're doing cooking and you say, I'm just leaving the kitchen to you, and you look over the shoulder and go, while they've got the back turned, you know, fix this up, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, well, just every now and again, just, and so, you know, creation, I'll just start the single cell.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'll just boost this along, you know, every now and again, you know, just depending on your philosophy, how you want to do it. Sort of God's got a hands-off approach. He created the world, and then it's hands-off. Or do you believe that God created the world and he's very much hands-on? It's his world and he's still working. And what does that mean for creation? Is God still creating? There's a question for you. Has anyone ever thought of that? Did God finish his creation and therefore no new creation? And everything he does now is simply just a blending of stuff that's already here. No, he never said that he's finished doing the creative works. He just finished the work of the creation.
Yeah.
And maybe there's other things he can do that are still being creative and creation. Let's look at a scripture. I think it's 2 Corinthians 5, 3. You know, there's some scriptures I can never remember the reference. It is 5. 2 Corinthians 5. I should have just... not said
on with it.
Yeah, then people would have said, oh, you're amazing. You always know this reference. I wouldn't have known. I'm fishing here. So then, if anyone is in Christ, he is a
new
creation. What is old has passed away. Look, what is new has come. What's it mean there? Well, it means that we're a new creation.
Brand new man.
So... what I take that to mean is that God did an active creation and he created something new, something new in me.
Yeah, that's good.
So think of it that God hasn't stopped doing creative stuff.
Yeah.
And we talk of creative miracles.
Yeah,
you know, the feeding the 5,000, was that a creative miracle or did he just sort of make something happen out of the... He used existing materials, but then he sort of... made it multiply.
It didn't just make the table bigger.
Yeah.
It became more.
Yeah. Creative, people who have limbs restored. Is that a creative miracle? You know, I think, you know, sometimes you say, well, is God just manipulating what's already here? Or is he just, he said, I just need to add something in here.
Yeah.
I need to do something. And I'm looking at what happens when to us. So God says, well, I'm doing something fresh, a new creation, something that's different. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3 and let's look at verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its practices. You've put off the old man with its practices and have been clothed with the new man that is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of the one who created it. So there's a new, you've got a new man in the image of the one who created it.
Yep.
Now we know the old man. The old man was Adam, and now we've got a new man, and that new man is Jesus, is the one that we...
Yeah.
And it says, according to the image of the one who created it. This is why I'm particularly looking at this scripture. We're looking at mirror. We want to understand who we are what we're called to.
That's so good.
All right, so I've got to see who I... And it's like, it talks about when I look at myself, I find two images. I find it shows me my old... There's an old man called Adam. And then I can see a new image.
Yeah.
I've got something new in me.
That's good.
A new creation.
Yeah.
And some, I've got a creation here. Let's just go back to John chapter 3. And just remember this concept that Jesus talked about. Now, at the top here, it says, you must be born again. I think that's not a great translation. And we've talked about this in the past, but it's important. A certain man, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council, came to Jesus at night, said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform the miraculous signs that you do unless God is with him. Well, Jesus replied, I tell you the solemn truth. Unless a person is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, you sort of say, if you know the King James, so if we go to the multiple translations here, You'll see, you know, the old King James. Verily, 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 I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Born again. Using my finger. Whereas the new new American, a man is born again. Born again. All the translations following what the King James says.
Yeah.
A living Bible, even born again, unless you're born again. Take it from me, unless a person is born from above the Message Bible. Oh, he's broken and he's gone with.
Yeah.
So why does some add this born from above instead of the time-honored real translation? Because some people would say, you know, you have what the King James says, and then you have the perversions, you know,
the others
that go, you know, if you want to know what the Bible really says, go to the King James. Yeah. And if the King James says born again, why are you messing with that? You know, like, you just, are you saying we shouldn't be born again? Oh, you know, there's a trigger point there.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, we've got to understand the word above. Let's just have a quick look at it. Unless you were born, what it says again. All right. Anothen. Okay. Anothen. Ano. From. And above. Then. From above.
Mm.
Not again.
Yeah.
From above. That's what. So when the New English Translation says from above, when the Message Bible says from above, it's taking this as its literal meaning.
Yeah.
Now, the concept of from above can mean repeat something.
Mm.
Okay, you know, we sort of do that in music. Let's take this from a, you know, let's take this from the top.
Take it from the top, yeah.
Yeah, and we're repeating something. If you're saying from above, you mean let's go back and start it again. Let's redo this. So from above can then have the understanding again, repeat something.
Yeah,
we're doing it again. Yeah. We're doing it again. We're going from above. But the literal meaning of that word is from above. Now, the difficulty is whenever you use anothen, only context tells you which one to take.
Right.
All right?
Yeah, okay.
You know, so if I said, you know, let's do this from... all right, let's say I was saying to Josh, oh, we've started this, we've done it, we've got 15 minutes, let's do this from above. Let's do Academy from above. What would that mean? You'd say, oh... Let's restart it.
Yeah.
Let's go back and hi, we're Josh and I'm Peter, you know, and here we are. We're doing it from above. Yeah. But if I said to you, let's do it from above, you wouldn't look up. And you say, you want us to do it up there? You want us to go on the roof? Yeah, up, you know, if you can't see here, but if I look up here, that we've got a grid above, we've got lights hanging, we could go up and sit up on the structure. There's plenty of space up there. Josh says, do you mean for me to go, you want us to record this from up there? He said, doesn't make sense. No, I have used the word from above, but you've understood it in its context of being, you just mean to do it again.
Yeah.
So context tells you which one it means. It doesn't mean both.
Yeah.
It means...
That's good, yeah.
It means one, yeah. But context tells you which one. Now, the difficulty is sometimes if I'm not clear and both are valid options... Let's say I've got my mobile phone and I'm trying to get reception and the reception's dropping down and I say to Josh, let's do this from above. It could mean, oh, let's start again because we've dropped out, or it could mean, oh, let's move up to a higher spot where we're going to
get a better signal.
Both are valid. Yeah. And you say, oh, I don't know which one he means. So Nicodemus takes what it means to be... Let's jump it back into the New English Translation, so not in the King James. I tell you the solemn truth, unless a person, and Jesus said, is born anothen, born from
above,
which is its literal meaning,
yep.
He cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, well, then how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time. What meaning did he put on it? I got to be born again.
I got to go back to the start.
I got to go back to the start
of my life.
So what could Jesus have been meaning? An oath could be you have to go back and redo this life.
Yeah.
Or a born from above, it could be actually, So if we've got the mobile phone and we're struggling here and I say, well, Josh, we've got to do this from above. And you say, okay, but how can we go back to the start? You know, people are already on and people don't, and we got to go back, and we got to back to the start. How do we go back to the start, everyone? And I said, Josh,
and just say all the same things again.
Josh, I'm not saying go. So we can't go back to the start. It's not 10 o'clock. How do I go back and It's not 9 o'clock. How do I go back to the?
Yeah.
I said, Josh, I'm not meaning.
It's not what I'm saying.
I'm not saying go back to the start and redo something. I'm saying we need to go up higher where there's a better signal.
That's
we need to go. Yeah. We need to connect with something higher.
Mm.
So Nicodemus said, how can a man who is born, when he's old, he cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time? And Jesus said, I tell you the solemn truth, take hold of this. Unless a person is born two ways, born of water and born of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Because whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the spirit is spirit.
Mm.
Do not be amazed, you must all be born from above. You got there's two types of place to get birthed. You can get birthed from the natural world, and you can get born from a heavenly realm, the spirit realm.
That's good, yeah.
It's a spiritual birth. All right. Two people that represented in these two births. Two images. Remember, we've been created, and in Jesus we've got a brand new image.
Yep. The old man and the new man.
Old man and new man. Two births.
Mm-hmm.
The old birth and the new birth. Now, the old birth, who does that represent? That's
Adam.
All right? We've all been born into Adam. And that is our old way, the first birth.
Yeah.
The birth that came, and the birth that started in this world. I want to show you something. Genesis chapter 1. That's Exodus 1. That's not going to work. I'm using my fingers today.
It's okay.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without shape and empty, and darkness was over the surface of water. So many times right through this first chapter that talks about the earth, God called the dry land earth. He said, let the earth sprout. He said the earth brought forth vegetation. Heavens to give light on the earth. And then, so the Hebrew for that word is Eretz. And it just means this land, this earth.
Yeah.
But then at another time, it starts to get very particular. And it talks about not just this earth, the world, but the stuff that's on the earth, the ground. All right. So so we go to Genesis 2 verse 5. Now, no shrub of the field had yet grown on the earth, on the whole earth.
As a whole, yeah.
Yep. And no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. All right? Earth, on the whole earth.
Yep.
Now we're talking about ground. This is now the dirt.
The layer.
The actual dirt that's on the big earth, the dirt. The Hebrew word for dirt is Adama. Adama, because it takes the word for red, Hebrew word for red, which is Adam, red, and it says this red stuff. You know, the red, because the soil was red.
The red stuff.
Proves the Garden of Eden was in Australia, you know, land of red dust plains.
Yes.
Soil that is rich in iron and has a red look to it.
Yeah.
And we know what sort of soil was in Eden, what was in the first creation. It was rich red soil. So the rich red ground is referred to as Adama. It's red. It's red. The word Hebrew, red. Let me just give you Genesis 25. Verse 25. Okay, so there's a guy in the Bible named Esau, and he got another name. Do you remember the other name? I just gotta look it up. I think it's verse 30. So Esau.
About to learn something.
Verse 30. Oh, here you go there. So Esau, See at the very end, that is why he was called Edom. All right, Esau got another name, Edom. The Edomites were the descendants of Esau, not the Esauites. You think the descendants of Esau, you'd call them Esauites? No, he got a nickname. He got a new name, Edom. Now, Edom had two things going for him, and this locked it in. But even when he was born, it says Edom came out, or Esau came out, the first time, reddish all over, like a hairy garment. A little orangutan.
Oh, wow.
He was a hairy little baby with red hair, a reddish hair. So he's already a hairy guy, but the hair color is actually named here as reddish. That's the Greek word Adomni, Admoni, reddish. Okay, and then it says in verse 32, when Jacob's cooking the stew. And Esau's, I'm famished, I'm about to die. First teenage girl in the world. I'm going to die if I don't get some food. I'm about to die. What use is this birthright to me? But Jacob said, swear an oath to me. So Esau swore an oath to him and sold his birthright. So he ate this stew. So what was this stew that he was looking at? It says, verse 30. So Esau said to Jacob, feed me some of the red stuff. Esau was a real culinary expert. Whatever that red stuff is, I want some of that. So he made a stew that was very red.
Yeah.
All right, red, Adam.
It does sound, you know, if it's tomato. Then it's...
So feed me some of that red stuff. Let's just, I'll just pick it up from here. Some of that red stuff. Look at the name for red stuff, Adam. Sound like anybody you know? Adom. Some of the red stuff. Adom. And so red stuff is from the Hebrew word Adom. And therefore, they named him Edom. That is why he was called Edom. Because Edom is the similar to the name Adom.
Yeah.
So he's a red hairy guy. And he says, give me some of that red stuff. So they forever named him Red.
That's the association.
Yeah, he was called Red because he just talked about red stuff, and he was red. And so they call him Red. But Edom, that sounds very much like Adam.
Yeah, yeah.
A name. Can you see the similarity? How did Adam get his name? Edom got his name from the red stuff. Yeah. How did Adam get his name? Well, if we go back to Genesis chapter 2. And verse 6, 7. So the Lord God formed the man, from the soil of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. If you look at this in the Hebrew, it says the Lord God formed Adam. Mm-hmm. Because the word Adam is the Hebrew word for man.
Yeah.
Adam was the man, and every man is an Adam.
Yeah.
So you get that. Let's see. Let's jump over there so you can see it. Chapter 5, verse 2. He created them male and female when they were created. He blessed them and named them. Now, New English translation, humankind. Name them humankind, but the literal Hebrew for there, he named them Adam. He named them Adam. Humankind, mankind, man and it's Adam. The word Adam and the word for the person of Adam and the name Adam for all man and man is exactly the same.
Yeah.
All right. And so they do actually, there's a scripture later on in one of the prophets where he prophesies to Adam, and they don't know, some commentators, is he actually saying this is what happened to Adam, or are we talking about man
as a whole?
He made a covenant, so he made it, I think it says he made a covenant with Adam. All right, and it's like, so it's an important one. Did he make a covenant with Adam, or did he make a covenant with mankind?
Yeah.
And you can have your own opinion. doesn't really matter to me at this moment. Adam, so mankind, man, and then, so if we, and this has come back from chapter 2. So, Yahweh, God, formed Adam.
Man.
So, formed Adam from the soil of the ground, and the ground is Adama, the red stuff.
Yeah.
And soil, you know, so the King James says dust. You know, I always thought it was like the dry, he made him some dust. No, no, what it means is soil of Adama means a bit of the loose stuff of the ground.
Yeah.
So a handful, so this is the way I translate it. He took a handful of Adama. He took a scoop of Adama and he made Adam. And breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So he took this scoop of this stuff, formed Adam, and then breathed in him and made him a living being. But where has Adam come from? His very name reminds him he's come from Adama.
Yeah.
It just constantly is a reminder. Every time you say Adam, it reminds of that you've come from this soil, this ground, this desert. Now, there was a connection there. There was a connection between Adam and the ground. He'd come from the ground.
Yeah.
He was going to go back to the ground. Remember, when you die, it says you go back.
You return.
You return.
Yeah.
You decompose and you go back, and the worms help, and you become, you know, sustenance for the dirt again. You go back, and so we're designed to go back to the ground. We're connected to the ground.
Yeah.
There was also a connection of a blessing. We were blessed. So if you're blessed, guess what the ground is?
Blessed.
Because you've got the blessing on you.
Yeah, that's good.
So the ground is blessed.
Mm.
So what Adam did was everything he did with the ground would be blessed.
That's good, yeah.
And so he was put in charge of a garden because he's from the Adama. He's got the connection and everything, and he grows. And the Adama says, I love Adam. He gets me. Adam is, you know.
We're the same, you and I.
You and I. We get you. But he's got the life of God in him.
Yeah.
And the earth is created.
Yeah.
And so he's got, it's such a good connection. And just look what happened in chapter 4. After the fall, you have Cain and Abel. And Cain did something, first kids. Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain, where were they? Out in the field.
Field, yeah.
All right. Where's the field? On the Adama. That's not the Greek word. That's not the Adama. That is the field.
Yep.
So, you know, but field is where the Adama is.
Yep.
All right. He's not in a house. It's important. You might not think, who cares? It's not in a house. It's not where... It's not hidden away. It's on the field.
Yeah.
And he kills him. When you kill him, what happens? He killed him with a knife because he shed blood. We know that.
Yeah.
We know that he shed blood. Now, guess what the word for blood is in Hebrew? Now, what color is blood?
Red.
Red. It's dam.
Because
it's red. So it's
just, everything is just red stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, dam is blood because it's red.
Yeah.
And he's on Adama, the field, and it's someone who's in the image of Adam.
Yeah.
Who's one, now we're all called Adam.
Yeah.
He's an Adam, even though he's got a different name, but he's still Adam. Mm. And he's from over Adama, and he kills someone, and he takes the dam, the red stuff, and pours it on the ground. And the ground complains. The ground says, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
The ground says, verse 9.
Wow.
The Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? And he replied, I don't know. Am I my brother's guardian? And he said, but the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's dam is crying to me from the Adama. Oh,
wow.
The dam's crying. Ah, what am I doing here? He killed me. So, now you are banished from their Dhamma, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's Dham from your hand. And when you try to cultivate their Dhamma, it will no longer yield its best for you.
Wow.
You will be homeless and wonder, it's not going to work for you. This, it's going to close. You've poured Dham into it, and it says, right, I'm not giving you good stuff.
Closed up.
Now, we already had the connection between Adam and Adama go into difficulty because of the curse.
Yeah.
The curse again. And that which was blessed should have been let's go. Okay, verse 17 of chapter 3. Get that chapter's right. 3:17. But to Adam, he said, because you obeyed your wife and ate from the tree about which I command you, you must not eat from it. The Adama is cursed because of you.
Mm.
Painful toil you will eat from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles, but you will eat the grain of the field. You were meant to have this amazing relationship with this Adama. It was meant to be...
That's good, yeah.
Woo! But you ruined it. You've messed it up. And then, you know, people like Cain puts blood in it. It's just wrong. It's just we're not treating it. We're created to have this amazing connection.
Yeah.
And we messed it up.
Yeah.
Okay. That's our Adam relationship. So out of our old man, it's connected to this earth.
Mm.
Jesus said, you must be born two ways. You got the old birth, the water, which is this world, this earth. It's the Adam birth. You've got this birth on this world, and that's your body, and that it's been made alive by the breath in it, the Spirit of God, made alive. Then that dies because we cut off connection with God, but we're still connected. We've got this body.
Yeah.
God says he comes along and he does a new act of creation. Doesn't finish creating. There's a new creation, a brand new. He creates a second man.
Mm.
In you, God says you must be born a second time.
Yeah.
This one, it's not a born from the earth, but you get it born from above. You get a heavenly birth
that's good.
That connects with you. So let's look at...
Now not connected to the curse.
No, not no longer. We break that, where it's dealt with. That's been dealt with, but it's a new connection, a brand new connection. But it's not just a revamping of this relationship. It's a brand new relationship, not connected to that at all.
Yeah,
it's a brand new connection.
That's good.
It's a brand new connection. That's not no longer is it rooted here. So 1 Corinthians 15. Now, while we're studying this, is because. The image.
Yeah.
We look and we see in the image. Who do we see? We see, I see two images.
Yeah, that's good.
I see two images in the mirror. I see in my Adam image. It tells me all about my Adam image.
Yeah.
I can see that. But I look over here, now I see a new image. It's in Christ.
Mm.
And I've got to understand that image.
Yeah.
And I've got to understand which is which and what I've got to lean into.
Like
so 1 Corinthians 15 and, how far do we go? Let's just start at 40. It's a deep dive here. Go sideways. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. Okay, Paul's trying to sort of is setting us up. Okay, now he says, you know, there's stuff on the earth, and then we see stars. You know, there's stuff above and there's stuff below. He's trying to create there's two.
Yeah.
There's above and there's below.
Yep.
And there's glory of the sun, glory of the moon, glory of the stars. You know, there's that glory. And he says the same with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable.
Mm.
It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. If there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body.
Mm.
You've eventually got to live in a body that is connected with your heavenly realm. But that's to come. All right, we still got this body while we're dealing with. There's a lot of comments there. I wonder.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with the comments there. Someone is commenting a lot. That's all right.
That's all right. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living person. The last Adam. Do we know who the last Adam? It was Jesus.
Jesus, yeah.
because all the Adams came, and then Jesus said, you know what, I'm going to finish the Adam. Mm. Now, there's more Adams gone, but he became the end of it.
Yeah.
If for anyone,
the line finished, new.
Yeah, for new. Anyone in faith can now, there's a new line. However, the spiritual did not come first, but the natural, then the spiritual. First we got the natural, the Adam, but then the spiritual came. The first man, well, he's from the earth. Now, this is Greek now, so it's not going to be Adama.
Yeah.
But the first man is from the earth, made of the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
The second man, well, he never came from the ground. He never came from the dirt. He came from heaven. Okay? Like the one made of dust or dirt, so to those made out of dirt. And like the one from heaven, so to those who are heavenly.
Mm.
So, just like Adam was made from the dirt, that's where we had our first birth.
Yeah.
But those who are from heaven, we have a new birth in Jesus. He's created. We've a second creation, a brand new creation. 2 Corinthians 5, we are a brand new creation in Christ. We've got something, we're new. Oh, we've got this earthly body, which is still... So, look at this. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, let us also bear the image of the man of heaven.
That's good. From above.
Two images. This is what we related to.
Yeah.
This is what we were. This is, I looked in the mirror and all I saw was Adam. Or I looked in and saw my connection to this earth. All I had was this earthly connection, and that's all I was. I was going to be born out of this world, and I was going to die out of this world. I looked in this image, it told me about my fallenness, it tells me that I'm broken, it tells me that the earth is cursed, it tells me that I am cursed, it tells me that I've a broken relationship with God. I am in a broken, cursed state because I'm of this earth, I'm of the Adam. Everything in Adam, I'm just locked into.
Mm.
Now, comes along a second birth, a second opportunity, a new, the second, it refers to Jesus as the last Adam and the second man.
Yeah.
The second one, second prototype, the new one, the firstborn of all creation. He's come to give us a new image.
Mm.
All right. Difficulty is I'm deeply entrenched in this and I've become that man.
Yes. Very much connected.
It's not just Adam's sin that I'm dying for. It's my own sin.
Yeah.
So you can't just say, oh, well, we'll just move you over. Something has to come in to break that connection.
Yeah.
So God comes from heaven, but then he comes in as the perfect man, absorbs that sin, cleans it up, breaks that connection, and gives us the freedom to say, now you can have a brand new connection. But this is not an Adama connection. This is a heaven connection. I'm going to connect you to heaven.
Yeah.
I'm going to cause you to have that image. So I now have two images. Mm. I have my old Adama, but now I have a brand new image in Jesus. This image connects me with the heavenly stuff.
Yeah.
Now, my old Adama, as earth, but now I've got the heavenly stuff. Now I connect with heaven, and I can bring heaven's resources onto this earth.
Yeah, that's good.
But I'm not drawing from the earth. I'm actually drawing from heaven into this. That's where my connection is.
Yeah.
I'm a blessed man, and I cause my blessing to outflow here, but I'm not connected to it. This is not it. There's more to it, and I don't think I've got the full picture yet. All right, because
lots of chew on here.
Yeah. There's we're still on this earth, and we still have been coming out.
Yeah.
But our connection with the sin and the curse, and also there's like a fatherhood of those in Adama, in Book of John, 1 John, he says, your father, the devil. That's where the devil's got his kingdom. That's where the devil's got his reign. So there's a whole lot of concepts in there. You know, Babylon, this world system.
Yeah.
It's the, I just filled it.
We're still a part of the world, but at the source where we're connected is no longer in this world.
No, we've got a second birth.
Mm.
We've had a new birth, which is a heavenly birth, and that's who we are. And see what sort of love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children. And indeed we are.
Yeah.
We're now God's children. One who's still living in that old Adama life, who practices sin is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was revealed to destroy the works of the devil. So it's not just, there's not just Adam, it's not just our sin, there's also the devil is playing a role in this. And it says, everyone who has been fathered by God does not practice sin, because God's seed resides in him, and thus he's not able to sin because he has been fathered by God. We've had a new birth. This one, this seed's come from heaven. All right, this seed, this is come. Good. This is a heavenly seed planted in. All right, on earth you are born when a natural seed comes in and makes life, but we've had a heavenly seed come in and given us a spiritual life.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, the seed of the Word of God. It says in 1 Peter that, you know, we're born again not by things that are perishable, but by that which is imperishable, the very Word of God, the eternal Word of God. Because God receives, resides in him, and thus is not able to sin because he's been fathered by God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are revealed. In other words, the Adama is still got a connection with the sin and the earth and the devil. And so that's been broken, and we've now got a new father. And we've moved out from that, so we've broken that relationship. So this relationship, there's a whole lot to it. But because this world was actually given to Adam to use.
Cultivate the ground.
Cultivate this ground, seed time and harvest. These are things given. You are to rule and govern this world effectively, to manage it. The devil came in, that became confused. So now you've got the situation where the devil says, you know, I can give you all the kingdoms of the world to Jesus because he's got access to
his to give,
the riches and the things like that. But it doesn't mean everything is his.
Yeah.
It just means that there's anything that's been given under his control. But this world, there's a mixture.
Yeah.
Right? Because it says, Jesus said, the cattle on the thousand hills belong to me. All right, you know, the devil's got some, but it's not like total control. So I'm probably confusing a little bit. What I am trying to say is that there's more to this. It's a bigger picture.
Yeah.
Our connection, but I'm trying to just break it down to the two images. There's the image of the old man, and we look at that and we see ourselves, and then we see we've got a new image. And you've got to be able to look in the Word of God and see your new image, the one that's been created in God, that's been born of God.
Yeah.
And so So let's go to 1 Peter. I sort of quoted that. let's get where the scriptures are.
Because this is important, because this changes how you live. This changes how you relate, what you can do even.
Exactly. Depending on what you... If you go to the Word of God, you've got to look for that image of who you are in Jesus and who and what you... And hey, I'm born from above and I've got God's seed in me. And it is very important. And we'll look at the scripture. That's a really good point. So can we use the term born again? Yes, we can. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he gave us a new birth. It talks about the new birth, to be born again. That's not from above. This is actually the Greek, which means a new birth. Okay, a fresh birth. You do have a second birth.
Yeah.
But it's where that birth is from that Jesus was pointing to, and all Nicodemus could see was time. All right, he thought it was the same birth a second time.
A rerun.
A new birth is not a repeat. It's a new birth out of a new place. So he's gave us a new birth into living hope. In verse 23, I think it is. You have been born anew. You've got a fresh new birth, not from perishable. Your new birth isn't from the old stuff.
Yeah, that's good.
But from imperishable seed through the living and enduring Word of God. So you've got the you're not born. We're not talking about that birth. Yes. We're talking about this new one. This new one which come out of the Word of God and the seed of God, and that's who you are. And like you said, it's really important us to know that. Because that does have an effect. We go back to where...
Because the Word of God is like the soil that you're now cultivating from.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're out of that. That's our connection.
Yeah.
That's who we are. If we get in the Word of God, this is good.
We're producing good things.
Yeah.
Not connected to the curse, not connected to all the stuff of the earth, but of above.
Actually, let's go to chapter 5. Because everyone who has been fathered by God had this new birth, conquers the world, overcomes the world. I now walk in authority over
that. That's what you want.
That world doesn't conquer me.
Yeah.
But now I'm in, because I've got a new birth, and you say, but you're old, it just drags you down. It's all the old way of living. You say, but that's not who I am anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
Because actually this birth is not now I've got two living side by side. It's this one's died.
Yeah, you're not split.
No, I'm not. This is my new birth.
Yes.
This is who I am.
Yes.
Now the difficulty is we still live in the body, which is connected to this world and this place, and it still tries to bring us back to the old way of doing things.
And it still remembers.
It still remembers. It says, let's go back to doing this. And you say, well, no, actually, you got to look and you say, no, you are the broken. This is who I am. Mm. This is... So because the one who has been fathered by God conquers the world. And this is how this conquering power works, because our faith, our trust in God has enabled us to get overcome in that world. Let's go to Romans 6. Now let's go back to Colossians, because we started there. Colossians, Ephesians, and Romans all have overlap in this concept.
Just like the soil, the teaching is very rich today, Pastor.
Thank you. I feel like we're surging and just trusting God.
Yeah, this is good. This is really good.
It's chapter 3. These verses are not matching up. Okay, do you remember we started this? This is where we started. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its practice. You've got to put it, got rid of. It's dead. And you have been clothed with the new man that is being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of the one who created it.
Mm.
The more we understand and dive into the word, because the word is the seed which opens that faith up so that we can receive it. That's our life. That's who we are.
Yeah.
We talk about the word. We also, you've got to talk about the spirit. Let's just go to there. 2 Corinthians.
We'll go to all of them. We have the time.
2 Corinthians.
That's what we do in academy.
Exactly. That you got to see all this so that it's all.
And this is all building like a full picture, a complete picture. You know.
Okay, but it is God who establishes us together with you in Christ. It's the second man is Christ. Our image is in Christ. It's all about it being in Jesus. That's where we are. And that's by the word of God. It's made us alive. Who has sealed us and gave us the spirits in our hearts as a down payment. The essence of heaven. How can I put this? Heaven is heaven because God is there. Okay.
Mm, yeah.
God is not God because he's in heaven. I want you to think about that for a moment. God is not God because he's in heaven. Heaven is heaven because God is there.
Yeah. God does not reside in heaven. Heaven.
Heaven is where God is.
God is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
God is the essence of heaven.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Heaven becomes heaven because that's where God is.
Yeah.
That's where his presence is. That's where his glory is.
Yeah, that's good.
That's heaven. All right. So if you said, what is the essence of heaven? It's God himself. And we're going to go and we're going to dwell in heaven. But that's the amazing thing, is we're going to dwell where God is and have fellowship with him. And that's what we've been created for. We've been created. That's our connection. Oh, we belong there. And but we're here on this earth.
Yeah.
And we've got this old man that we're still working through, and he's dead, and we've got to die to him every day and make sure that he doesn't resurrect himself. And go, no, that's not who we are. That's not what this is who I am.
Yeah, that's good.
If God's going to put heaven in you,
he
said there's the water and then there's the spirit.
Mm.
Born of the water, born of the spirit. The spirit is the representation. Not doesn't represent heaven. Heaven is heaven because of the spirit.
Mm.
Heaven is heaven because of God.
Yeah.
And therefore, heaven is heaven because of the spirit. the presence of the Spirit of God is what makes heaven have its atmosphere and its presence. So God says the way to do this is you get born from Adam and you got connected with this earth. He said, I put something of heaven in you and I plant that through the seed. But then he says, I put the Holy Spirit in you, because the Spirit is the Spirit that connects us with that.
Yeah.
So we now have already heaven in us.
Yeah.
We've been born into God. And so it says, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a down payment. It's, you know, we put put God into us as a first portion of heaven. When we get to heaven, oh, we get rid of this earthly body. Because that's what it says in chapter 5, verse 16. Chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not despair, but even if our physical body, you know, the part that was we got from Adam, but the life that we have from it's wearing away.
Yep.
Our inner person is being renewed day by day. You know, this old...
Yeah.
And you know, Paul says, you know, this earthly house, the tent we live in, is dismantled. We have a building from God, a house not built by human hands. It's eternal. It's in the heavens.
Mm.
This earthly house we groan because we desire to put on our heavenly dwelling.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to getting a heavenly body to go with our heavenly born-again experience. All right? I've been born from above.
Yeah.
This body is still connected to my Adama birth.
Yes.
It'd be nice to get the...
Won't have something fighting, pushing against us, this trying one, this, to pull us down.
Yeah, this one's still connected to this world. No
compliment.
This one. And while I'm here, it's being renewed and handheld and blessed.
Yeah.
You know, it's because I'm bringing the blessing of God into it. So I speak to it and I call it full of life. You're gonna sustain me right to the end.
Yeah.
All right. You need to tell your body that. You say, hey, body, you're gonna be good right to the end. All right. You know, you're not gonna do a road trip and fall apart as we come. You know the panels are gonna fall off and the wheels.
Yeah.
No. We're gonna have a strong finish.
Yeah.
All right. Body, you're gonna get me there and you're gonna hold me there right to the very last moment.
Good.
Because I've got a heavenly body and I'm looking forward to that, but I'm not gonna diss and ruin this one while I'm here, because this one has got to keep me till I get there. Do you know what I mean? So we have a body. Let's just go back to Colossians. Well, we will. What's in Colossians? We're coming back to. Colossians 3 and verse 10. Let's look at it again. We've been clothed with the new man that is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of the one who created it. Our power to walk in this new man is by the renewing of our understanding.
Mm.
It's by renewed in knowledge. Your ability to embrace and live in the fullness of what you have is a renewing process of renewing the mind and renewing the understanding of who you are. And you do that according to the image of the one who created it. So we see ourselves in Jesus. That's why you study Jesus, because in doing that, you're looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
You say, am I Jesus? No, you're not Jesus, but we're looking that which we were created in his image. Mm. So by seeing the way he deals with things, I thought, that's my nature.
Yeah.
See how the Holy Spirit used him? That's how the Holy Spirit will use me.
Yeah.
See how he walked and lived?
He's the example.
He's the example. But not as an example, like you should be like, you know, that. You know, no. This is, that's what's been planted
it's
in
showing
you.
Showing us what we can do.
That's who you are. That's what you do. And they say, this is what you're capable of.
Yeah.
And this is what you can do. And this is what your ability. It's sort of funny. We have that in a sort of a natural sense. And I think of the Olympics at the moment, because everyone's watching the Olympics.
Australia's doing well.
Yeah, Australia, because we've got gold medal. We've watched the second week. We kept getting medals. Normally turn off a little bit after swimming, you know. But we actually did well in some of the other sports too. So, you know, it's good fun. But they talk about the 4-minute mile. I think if I got it correct,
yes,
you know, it's a Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile. Someone can maybe make sure I've got the right history details.
Yes.
But people actually said no one can run a mile in 4 minutes.
No one can do it.
It was like scientists have proven that the physical body is not capable to do it until someone did it. And then a lot of people did it.
It's good.
Because as soon as he broke
a barrier.
Yeah, as soon as one person did it, everyone looked at that image and said, we can do that.
It is possible.
And now, as long as no one was doing it, everyone was looking at the image and saying, no, we can't do it.
Yeah.
And so they were training and running as hard as they could, but they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But suddenly when someone person did it, they said, we can do this.
We can go further.
There's an image in it. And sometimes you can do it, but you just don't know who you are. And you go look at the image of Jesus, because Jesus is what teaches us. And that's the barrier. I'm not saying you're amazing because of you. You're amazing because you're born again.
Mm.
You're born anew. You're born from above. You've got this is who we are. And we look in the image of who we are in Jesus. And we say, that's my image. That's who I am. That's what I've created. And everyone who is born of the Father overcomes the world. This is what overcomes what our faith,
that's
our
good.
Ability to trust and believe in this is what we do. So everyone is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of the one who created. And this is not, no longer in the old covenant was all about where you sat in terms of were you under the, were you a Jew or non-Jew, were you circumcised or non-circumcised. These physical things, these things were what positioned you in terms of whether you could enter into a covenant relationship. It said that doesn't apply anymore. There's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. It doesn't mean that people didn't have those categories and those categories didn't apply to other areas of life. There's one scripture, this doesn't say here, but same concept with Paul, there's neither male nor female. Same concept. He's saying, it's people say, there's no gender now. God doesn't see gender. Of course he sees gender.
Pluck that one out.
Yeah, it's not saying that these categories do not exist and that we don't fall into these categories.
Yeah.
What it's saying is those categories no longer define our relationship with God.
Yeah.
That's, whether I'm a male or female,
it doesn't keep you out.
No, it doesn't keep me out or doesn't give me a free ride in.
Yeah.
Remember the Jewish men thought, they had a free entry in. Do you know what I mean? They say I'm circumcised on the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm in. And God's like, no, you are not, because circumcision is an act that should be is really to do with the heart, and it's not whether you're a Jew in heart. It's a Jew by faith. Abraham, his children are those who believed. And so Paul does all that teaching. Unpacks it. You're relying on the fact that you're a Jewish male. You're in big trouble, all right? Because it's not whether you're male or female. It's not whether you're circumcised, uncircumcised. These are categories that are still real, but you can't use them to get a connection with God. They aren't what define us and enable us in. Our ability, what enables us to connect with God? Christ. That's our one avenue into God. Jesus. And it's not whether I was brought up here or brought up there or done this or in that country, color of my skin, or whether I was raised in a very holy place or raised by terrible wickedness. Doesn't matter, we all come to the one place. There's one place that now brings us in, it's Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's the image. And our faith in Jesus and our trust in Jesus, that seed takes hold and we get a new image. We're born of above. And then God puts the Spirit in us as the down payment. You now got heaven in you. We are ready, ready. But we've just got to deal with this body.
Mm.
So Romans chapter 6. I'm going to finish here, I believe. What shall we say then? Are we to remain in sin so that grace may increase? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? How do we die? How did I die to sin? Well, when I embraced Jesus, Jesus had already done something for me. He had died to sin.
Yes,
so by getting born in him, it dealt with that.
Yeah.
So I don't do it. I just embrace him.
Yeah.
And I get his death to my sin. So
that's good.
Or do you not know that as many as you were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? It shows us, the death, that showed us what we did.
Mm.
Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism and death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may live a new life. This is the image we look at. This is who I am. For if we'd become united with him in the likeness of death, we will certainly also be united in the likeness of his resurrection. We know that our old man, therefore, was crucified with him so that the body of sin would no longer dominate us. so we'd no longer be enslaved to sin. Jesus took the Adam sin onto the himself in the cross and dealt with it.
Yeah.
So when I look at Jesus on the cross, he's dealing with the Adama, the Adam. He's dealing with that whole race. He dealt with that. All the curse and the broken, he took that. So my Adam part, I say, he actually got it. So when it plays up, I say, no, you're dead. You belong on him.
This is not a part of me anymore.
No. For someone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we'll also live with him.
Yeah.
We know that since Christ has been raised from the dead, he's never going to die again. And death no longer has mastery over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God.
Yeah.
So you too, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus.
That's so powerful.
I don't like the word consider. Sorry, I like the Bible, but I don't think
that translation.
I don't like that translation, because if I ask you to consider something,
think about it,
and if it suits you,
weigh it up,
and work out whether listen. I'm going to go to lunch.
Just think about Jesus.
Yeah, and I'm going to go to lunch afterwards, Josh. You're welcome to come, but you can consider it.
Yeah.
You know, think, and you can tell me, oh, I'd rather head home earlier, or I'd rather, oh, that sounds good. Who's paying? You know, all those things. You know, I've got to consider, can weigh up the facts, you know.
It matters.
Where are we going? Oh, you know, oh, I don't really like that. You know, what's if a restaurant I told you that you wouldn't like would be?
McDonald's.
Sorry.
Except for their nuggets.
I love the concept of the 4 minute mile. Just catching up on some of our comments here. Oh, hi. Good morning to Peggy. Praying for Peggy. She had a fall.
Oh.
So we pray. Praise God you could be online and joining us, Peggy. But we're believing for health and wholeness in your body. I love the concept, said Brooke. That's a long one. So we actually put up so people can see what we're seeing. I love the concept of the 4 minute mile. People thought it was impossible. But then suddenly they had a... What is that word?
We can't read it then.
A telegestion that it wasn't. I'm guessing that's not the word you meant. And I should look through the Bible with that same mindset.
Yeah.
I should walk away from Revelation. Oh, did you mean Revelation? I should walk away. Sorry, for people trying to work out what we're saying. Where's that gone?
While you're doing that, Brooke just said a vegan restaurant. That would be even better. Because I didn't want to diss Macca's. I actually like the nuggets. But a vegan restaurant would fit that. Perfect.
Yeah, so I've messed up putting the comments up, so don't worry about that. Actually, I think that's it there.
They had a revelation that it wasn't. And I should look through the Bible with the same mindset. I should walk away with the revelations of what is possible with God.
Yeah. Yeah, we look at that, hey, what is possible through what I am in God?
Yeah.
That's really good. Autocorrect and long fingernails for that. Yeah, I can't blame long fingernails.
There's an Apple pen as well.
So, Josh, I said, let's go to a vegan restaurant. Oh, I consider it. No. All right. That's how I see consider. Okay. It's like, I'm going to weigh something up. I'm going to think about it if it's good for me.
I didn't need to consider that one though. But...
Yeah. But let's just look at what consider. Consider is my old favorite word, legizomai. If anyone has ever heard me teach on Romans 4 and this concept of repentance and getting freedom from this and new birth, it comes down to this word legizomai. Legizomai is a word from logos, an account, to reckon, to impute, to number. It actually means to look at something and to put it into, it's an accounting term, to put it on my ledger and write it down exactly. In other words, consider is not like, I wonder whether it says, no, put this on your account and see exactly what you have, all right? So it's like, I'm giving you a credit card, but you got to look into it and see exactly how much money's on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
maybe even better than a credit card, because that's sort of the wrong concept. A gift card. I'm giving you a gift card.
Yes.
And it's got no money written on it. So I've got to look into it, I say, you got to legizomai what's on this
to know what's gift on there, card. Yeah.
You got to know it, because you're going to go and spend it and you're going to use it and you're going to say, oh, I might go down and buy a pair of socks with this. And it's like, there's $10 million on this. Why are you messing around with socks? or there's $1 billion on this. You know, go and buy an island.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And you think, I wonder if I can buy a second pair of socks. That'd be pretty fancy. Oh, no. I don't want to waste all the money.
I
might have run it. And you say, oh, I bought three pairs of socks and then I stopped using it because I think I'd used it all up. And it's like, what? That's not how it works. That's legismite. You've got to know what's on there, and you've got to know exactly. It's an exact. Accountants don't say, some people say, how much money you got in the bank? Oh, that's so much. But if I went to my bank balance, it says how much. When I look on my phone and I can get access to my bank account, I look at it, it doesn't say, you got about this much. It'll tell you down to the exact cent. This is how much you've got in. This is how much has come in. This is how much has gone out. This is your exact balance.
Yeah.
Bank accounts do not give me an about.
If it was, we'd
I don't want a bank with a bank that says, roughly.
We'd want to be figuring that
out. We haven't really kept track of your money. I think I got a lot more than, not so sure. You spend a lot lately.
Well, that changes what you spend, how you spend.
Would you bank with a bank that said, we'll just keep a rough idea and when we think you've used all your money, we'll tell you and we'll stop honouring you. No way. That might work for some people because they might get it wrong. But if they're going to get it wrong, I don't want a bank that thinks. Considers.
Yeah.
I want a bank that knows.
That's right.
So that's why this scripture.
And just while you're finding that, anyone who might be interested in that, I think that was from It's in the Storehouse on the series on healing.
Yeah.
In our previous academy.
Yes.
So that's where I think recently.
We did teaching.
Covenant, healing, where you spoke about that.
Yeah, we definitely in covenant, we spoke about righteousness and things like that, all about legizomai. And in healing, we covered
it's
these.
But
knowing what's in the storehouse, and all the provision. Exactly right. So you two consider yourselves dead to sin. That's not a suggestion. That's
you know
yourself that you are dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, okay, this is what, by having all this understanding, knowing your image, it gives you ability to do a therefore.
Yeah.
Okay, you cannot do this therefore if you're not sure about what's in your image.
Yeah.
And all you see
is
I'm in the Adam and I can just see him. No, you've got to see this. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires.
Mm.
Don't you say, because this is, you're now dead because I'm this and I've been born again in Christ. And some people give it a try. I think it was Keith Moore I was listening to the last couple of weeks where he said, you never hear God telling people to give something a try. Do you understand? And I thought, it never does. He says, well, just give it a shot. See what, come and follow me for a bit and see what happens. No, he says, follow me.
Yeah.
Yeah, leave.
He's sure.
Yeah, there's no try because he said two things. First of all, if he says try, he sort of thinks, well, I'm not sure whether you can do it.
Well, you're not going all in. You're just having a go.
Yeah, and he said, you go all in because you can do it. And he said the second thing, as soon as he says you can come in, he says the word creates the ability for you to do it. Like Mary, it says, how can I know? It says, well, as soon as God said you're going to be with child, he said you're going to be with child because no word of God comes without the power for its fulfillment. And so as soon as God says, follow me, you can follow him.
You have the ability.
See, when Peter was walking on the water, Peter was out there on the boat and he
says, call me.
He says, yes, come. And he could. Why? Because Jesus said he could. So he didn't. Jesus did not say, I don't know, give it a try. He never said that.
Let's just see if you can walk on water.
Yeah, let's just see if it works.
Yeah.
He didn't. And Peter walked until he looked around and then he goes, now I'm confused and I got full. Jesus grabs him and says, why is your faith so short, Peter? Why didn't you do the whole thing? So we're not told to try and overcome. We're told, look in the image. This is who we are.
Mm.
You can. This is who. And you say, I struggle. I say, look in the image.
Yeah.
Learn who Jesus. You've actually been born again. You've meditate and chew and see yourself what God has done. You've had a second birth. So to me, the old concept, you must be born again. I don't think we use that phrase much in modern church circles.
Yeah.
I sort of think back to my grandparents' type era, and they would be, the evangelists would come, you must be born again. They even used the old King James, ye must be born again, and it's like, born again. I don't ask people when I'm inviting them to get saved, I say, well, come and get saved. I say, come and follow Jesus.
Mm.
Come and give your life to Jesus. Come and follow him. I don't say, come and get born again.
Yeah.
All right, and so would I, I don't know whether people say, we say born again all the time around here. Our church says born. I'm just saying, I don't hear it really.
No, yeah, you're right, yeah.
Um, And I think it's because the concept's a little bit like, oh, it's sort of a bit old school.
Yeah.
A bit old, you know.
Can't get born from above.
Yeah. But by understanding actually what Jesus was saying, to me, it's actually become alive. The fact that I am born from above, I have a new birth, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's really big.
It changes everything.
There's a second, creative act happened, and we're created, you know. Second Corinthians, it says, we are a brand new creation. He's created this. We got this. I've got this two men.
Yeah.
This one's now dead in Jesus, and I've got a new one that's alive. And, you know, it's working this body. And if we go back to Romans, oh, we are back still in Romans 6. don't give yourself over to doing the living in the old life. That's my summary of chapter 6. Chapter 7 is how do we get freed from the old man? It talks about the legality of it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can't just choose to leave a covenant. You can't, and your old man relationship is a covenant.
Mm.
You're connected with the Adam. You're connected. You can't just choose, I don't want to do that anymore. Mm. And he uses the example of marriage. And he said, you know, when you're married, verse 2, a married woman is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. Mm.
Till death do us part.
But marriage is till death do us part. So there is a way to get out of marriage, and it's for one of you to die. That's not a suggestion for some people. That's interesting. That's not what we're talking about. When Paul was saying one of you has to die to get out of a marriage, he wasn't talking about the other person.
Mm.
He's talking about you.
Yeah.
He said, if you die, you're free from the marriage. But that doesn't... Yeah. What good does that do? I'm dead. He said, but if you died, that marriage is no longer... So, applicable. Now, in this illustration, the church, the people we're talking about is the woman.
Mm.
The woman is, I'm married, I'm connected, but if through Jesus there's death, I'm free from that.
Yeah.
And I can remarry. And guess who I remarry? I marry Jesus.
Mm.
So I'm now connected with Jesus, and I can be fruitful, and I can bear fruit. So then if she is joined to another man while her husband is alive, she'd be called an adulteress. You can't do it. He said, but if the husband dies, she's free from that law.
Mm.
She's joined to another man. She's not an adulteress. So she's like, Adam dies. And I get the new Adam, the second Adam.
Yeah.
The last Adam, the second man. So my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you could be joined to another, to the one who is raised from the dead to bear fruit to God. For when you were in the flesh, the sinful desires aroused by the law were active by the members of our body to bear fruit for death. So now we've been released from this, but he said sometimes the old law just holds on, I don't want to do this, but I still do. I know most of you can't relate to that, but this is sometimes what other people like Josh go through. But thanks be to, you know, wretched man, who will rescue me from this body of death? I'm in this death, but I don't want to do it anymore. Yeah. He said, well, thanks be to God, it's through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
This is how I do it, and therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ now. Who are in Christ, this new, that whole thing changes. I'm skipping stuff that is very relevant, just because of, we don't need to do it exactly right now. But however, you're not in the flesh anymore, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God lives in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, this person does not belong to him. In other words, if you don't have the spirit, you're actually not born again.
Yeah.
Now, we're not talking about if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues.
Mm.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Having the spirit and then having the fullness of the spirit and speaking in tongues is separate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But everyone who is born again has the spirit, because otherwise you can't be born again. You've got to be born of the spirit. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is your life because of righteousness. Moreover, the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The one who raised Christ from the dead will also make your mortal bodies alive through his Spirit who lives in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
Mm.
For all who are being led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. We're going to leave it right there. That's the you get to now say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. I now believe in that. That's how do good. We know about this? Because Colossians says that we, I might say you're going to another scripture. No, I'm going back to our very start and just going to leave that up there. We've been clothed with the new man that's been renewed in knowledge according to the image of one who created it. As we look into the mirror, the word of God, and get understanding of who we are, you've got to see yourself as born from above. You've got to see yourself as a brand new creation. Something's happened inside of you. You belong to God. There's more to it, but not for this week. All right? Next.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. There's more. There's more. There's more. It's amazing what he does. But that's enough for you to chew on.
That's been so awesome and so amazing. And there's so much to chew on. So much to think about. And that's why we're here. We're here for it all. You know, we want to consume all that. And so we love that. What awesome teaching, Pastor. So if you're excited about what's today, there is more to come next week. Thank you to all everyone that's been here today. The conversation has been rich in the comments, and we haven't been able to see it all, but we'll definitely be reading that.
So there's some really good comments there. I can't read all of them quickly, so I'm trying to read them there. But I really appreciate
it. We'll go back and read them.
We'll go back and read them over the next few minutes, and we can comment and respond to that. But I just want to say, this is what the mirror's for.
Yeah.
To show us, because otherwise we don't know who we are and what we need.
Yeah.
It's to show us that we need this experience, and then when we're born again, it's to show us what we are. We're to renew our minds, understand who we are according to the word of God and who we are in Christ and what that means. And I belong to him and I have his nature. As I think Joe Rose says, it's not just consider it, but I identify with it. I make it my identity. I latch onto it. And that's what Paul's not saying. Oh, just give it this a thought. You know, this would be nice for you to go away and think about. No, this is for you to dive into and say, you know, if that's true, draw the connection. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, you no longer have control over me. You no longer do this.
Yeah, I'm not under that anymore.
No.
I'm a new. It's not mine.
Yeah.
It's not on me. I'm a new creation. And now we bear fruit and cultivate things from the new. That's good.
Just one last thought. Just as Adam just had a special place with Adama, the earth. And while we're here on the earth, I'm speaking blessing, and Isaiah talks about the Eden. We take deserts and turn them into gardens.
Mm.
So that's we are.
It's like heaven on earth. It's like God on earth. It's like reclaiming it even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Adam had the connection with the earth. We've actually got the connection with heaven.
Yeah.
Using the resources and the life of heaven and bringing him into your soul, that's who you are. That's your. It's as natural to you as what Adam. When Adam held the soil, it was like, this is where I've got this connection. When we flow in the spirit, and if you, I can tell you, when you flow in the things of the spirit, you feel really alive. When you're ministering the gifts of the spirit, or when you're doing something that's spirit led, or when you're maybe just reading the word of God and your spirit's being energized, you feel alive. You feel like this is right. When when I'm preaching and I'm in the flow of the spirit, it's just awesome. Or when you're working and you're talking with someone and the gifts of the spirit are flowing, or when you're just doing something and it's out of the anointing of the spirit, this is who I am.
Yeah.
This is why.
So good.
That's because that's who I'm connected. It's the life of heaven flowing through me. And it's just so natural and normal and right. I thought, because I've been born again from above.
Yeah.
I've got a brand new image. I've been born into the image of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so it's really natural and normal for me to flow in the Spirit. It says those who are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. That's Paul said. If you flow in the Spirit, that's showing your sonship.
Yeah.
Because that's what sons do.
That's so good.
So go and enjoy and dig into that you are not who you are. Oh, so it was Judith who said, not consider but identify. I'm sure Joe Rose would have said it too, but my blurry eyes.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, my blurry. Not consider. Don't go and consider this. Go and identify with it. Go and dig into that. Enjoy being full of the Holy Spirit and flowing with the Spirit.
Mm.
Have a great week. We will be at church on Sunday. Anyone who's in this region doesn't have a church, you come. Anyone who's not in this region, but you can watch online.
Yes.
And that's what we do.
That's good.
From 10 o'clock on Sunday, Australian Eastern Standard Time, we will have a wonderful time. And guess what? This Sunday, special guest, Christine. My wife Christine is speaking, and you got to bet your bottom dollar there will be a really great illustration.
Yes.
She is a visual learner, and therefore she sees things in the spirit and she will do something visually. That's and so then good. You remember it, and then it locks it in. It gives you something to put your truth onto and your under concepts onto. So we're going to have a great time on Sunday, and Christine will be sharing, talking about relationships, how you can get on in this life, how you can do better in this life by dealing well with people and being a good person. So she'll be talking about
those
things.
Not everyone is like you.
Last Sunday we talked about the fact that, hey, you got to live in a world where not everyone's like you, and that's actually a good thing, but you've got to be aware of it. And if you felt like you feel like slapping your neighbor, go and watch my sermon from Sunday, because I explained why you should not slap your neighbor, even though you feel like it sometimes. If you've been slapped in life, maybe it gives a help of understanding what it's all about. All right, so go and enjoy. That's all. You can go to our website, breakthrough.org.au. You can do the academy. You get all the previous academy. Yep. If you go to our Sunday services, you get that. Mm. We get some. If you've got a Spanish-speaking friend, we've got some Spanish messages on there. And we've got a new one on there. People might not be aware. You go to our website, and we've got four categories now to watch. You've got Sunday services, you've got Espanol, you've got Breakthrough Academy, but now we've also got the Bible being read out by the teacher and the voice. David Legg and myself take the Bible one chapter at a time and make it come alive.
That's cool.
And so it's a way of getting the Word of God into you. It's a little bit different. So you can go and explore that on our website as well. All right. Bless you all. We're going to keep the comments going for a few minutes so we can go back and read some of these comments. Yes, there's a lot of stuff in there.
Definitely.
And after about 3 or 4 minutes, we'll close it off. But until next Friday, you have a real blessed week embracing all that God has got for you.
Be blessed, everyone. Looking forward to you guys being back next week. As always, you are always welcome to be in the studio with us. We have seats available. We love having you. If you'd ever like to be here, but we know and value that you could be here online. Looking forward to next week. Have a good rest of the week and be blessed, everyone.
Bless you.